Hey, good morning and welcome back to the LifePoint DriveCast. Thanks so much for making us a part of your day today. We really appreciate it. My name is Paul Pretty and I'm the teaching pastor for our Marion campus. And this past Sunday, we were in Luke chapter 7, specifically verses 36 through 50, as we looked at the story of the sinful woman who anoints Jesus's feet and Jesus being at dinner at the request and invitation of Simon, a Pharisee. And it's a fascinating story with an incredible amount of depth and detail that you can get into. And I really focused our time surrounding grace and how the way I said it on Sunday was that grace, not law, initiates love, right? That grace, not law, initiates love. And I think this is directly from the text. And I think it's incredibly important for us to understand this. You see, the way the story unfolds is this woman barges into the dinner party. She's a sobbing mess. She wets Jesus's feet with her tears. There's no towel, so she dries his feet with her hair. She anoints his feet with oil. She's kissing his feet. I mean, it's awkward, honestly, but it is an incredible outward expression of the love she has for Jesus because she has the faith that Jesus will not reject her, but rather Jesus will invite her in and forgive her of her sin. And that's what Jesus says in verse 50. At the very end of the encounter, in the end of the interaction, he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And just before that, in verse 48, he says, "Your sins are forgiven." And so what we know is that this woman in faith understands she has much sin to be forgiven. And in response to the forgiveness she believes Jesus will give her, she has an outpouring of love. Now, in contrast, what we see is Simon the Pharisee. And Simon the Pharisee would have had this belief that love for God is based on the following of God's law. And I want to be careful there because, yes, God's following God's law is evidence of love, but following God's law is not the initiator of love. Let me try and explain that back in the Old Testament. So if you think about really the scope and the narrative of the Bible, what we always see is that grace comes before law. And law is really supported by grace and the love that grace produces. So for example, the story of the Israelites in their enslavement in Egypt, they're crying out to God, and in God's grace and God's mercy, he chooses to save them. He chooses to rescue them. And then after he has rescued them and after their heart should just be adoring him as a result of the grace that he has shown them, then he introduces the law as guardrails for the relationship, right? Grace comes before the law. And Simon, what becomes clear here is that Simon doesn't really understand that, because Jesus goes through this parable and this story and he says, look, this woman is showing me honor. She is falling at my feet. She's crying, but Simon, you've done none of that. It was customary for you to bring a basin of water to wash my feet. You didn't do that, but she's wetting my feet with her tears. It's customary to anoint me with oil, and you didn't do that, but she is pouring out her most expensive possession on my feet. It's customary for you to greet me with a kiss, but you didn't do that, Simon. But she did. You see, Simon, you love little because you believe your righteousness can be attained through the following of the law. You love little because you believe you've been forgiven little. You might not even believe you need forgiven at all. On the other hand, this woman loves much because she understands she's been forgiven much. She is expressing her gratitude of the grace that Jesus has given her in this incredible outpouring of love. And this is so important for us because sometimes I think as Christians, we get into these ruts where Christian things that we do, like going to church or reading our Bible or praying or sharing the gospel with someone, when they become drudgery to us, or if they become drudgery to us, these chores or these things that we have to do, that's an indicator that we need to go back to grace, because grace is the initiator of love, not law. If we're saying, when I do all of these things correctly, or if I do all of these things correctly, that then will grow my love for God. You've got it backwards. What grows our love for God is an understanding what Jesus has done for us on the cross. It's understanding that we are undeserving of the grace that we've been given in the blood of Jesus. We are undeserving of receiving forgiveness of our sins, but through faith in Christ and through believing upon his name, that in his death on the cross, he paid for our sins. That is what initiates and ignites love in our hearts, that spurs us into obedience and spurs us into a desire to come to church, into a desire to serve others, into a desire to share the gospel with others. But if we're just doing all of these Christian things without grace, without receiving grace, and without understanding that grace is what leads to love, then we're going to get burnt out. We're going to get frustrated. We're going to feel like no one appreciates us. We're going to feel like we're just not clicking. And if you're feeling that way, I just want to encourage you to go back to grace. Go back to the reality that every single one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Isn't that what Jesus says in the story? Both the people in debt owe the money lender a debt that they could not pay. Whether it's 50 denarii or 500, all of us have a sin debt that we cannot pay. And all of us, we need the undeserved grace of Jesus in our place. And when we submit ourselves to Jesus, what we'll find is an incredible love for Jesus. And that love will then overflow naturally into good works. And so maybe that's an encouragement for you today. Maybe you're feeling frustrated. Maybe you're feeling discouraged. Maybe you're feeling like, I just can't do all this stuff. It's not about doing this stuff. It's about responding to the grace that Jesus has given you. And it's about then responding and living out of the love that that grace initiates within you. So let's take a minute to pray this morning that we would understand the grace that God has given us in Christ and then the forgiveness of our sins through Christ, and that we would first see that and that we would live it out every day. Now, Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we don't have to try and do a bunch of stuff so that we will love you. We thank you instead that you, Jesus, did everything for us, that you, Jesus, give us grace even when we don't deserve it. And Father, I pray that as we receive that grace and as we understand that we are sinners undeserving of that grace, that that would grow and initiate within us a greater love for you. And that greater love would be just overwhelming to us in such a way that it pours out into every aspect of our life. And we can't wait to come and worship on Sunday morning because of the grace we've received. We can't wait to serve because you first served us. We can't wait to share because you have done incredible wonders for us. Jesus, thank you for your grace. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to live, to die, to live again in our place. Father, lead us today. Lead us into an overwhelming joy of the grace and the mercy that we've received in the forgiveness of our sins. It's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.